Welcome once again to another early spring edition of In the Garden with Kelly and Char. I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me is Char Char. How does your garden grow?
It's growing, but indoors. I've got seedlings in the house.
You know, I've been seeing people have seedlings that they planted a little too early.
Uh-oh.
And they're wondering what to do with these large plants. He says, I'm out of window space. I don't have any room underneath my grow lights. My husband's not getting any more humorous about this. Yeah, I know. I think we got such a taste of early spring.
Right.
We thought we weren't going to get that. And it's been such a roller coaster lately.
Right.
We went from snow to freezing to dry to mud. I don't know. So whatever season this is, we welcome you to In the Garden, and we hope that you'll join us every Wednesday for another edition. And while this weather's been a real roller coaster, maybe we should call it a tilt-a-whirl instead.
Yeah.
There are some things that we can do that can be done before the soil is ready to be worked. And I know, Char, you've got some seedlings, and I've seen other people who have really... I didn't do that this year, except for sprouting a few of the hyacinth bean vines. And they are up about 2 inches.
Oh.
But they're really slow growing, and they need a lot of heat.
Oh,
so
sure.
I'm not going to have to worry about them getting away from me. So today, we're going to look at some of our favorite tools that we have found are a huge help in making our gardening easier. And I'm going to divide them into two main categories, and that is hand tools and then those with longer handles. We certainly won't cover them all, but some of the most basic types are a good start. Now, before we get to people tools, Char, I think one thing I always remember hearing is that tools are what separates us from the animals.
That's right.
Well, I think that many animals develop ways to incorporate unique tools to achieve their goals. And if you've ever observed wildlife, you might see that they're very ingenious at figuring out how to breach squirrel-proof feeders and tip-proof bird baths and other methods us humans use to try to outsmart those furry and feathered friends. But wherever there's food, you're always going to find a hungry creature trying to figure out a way around or through our best of barriers. And already this spring, I don't know if you have problems with this, Char, but I have a cedar-sided house, and those woodpeckers are hard at work drilling holes in that siding to reach those hiding insects. And no matter the design, our determined red squirrel is going to chew or scratch his way through wood, wire, and even masonry. I know that raccoons can also cause a lot of damage to gardens with their sharp claws. In fact, I've seen things online of them tearing up sod by the handfuls.
Really?
And trying to get to the grubs underneath.
Oh.
So they've been busy this spring already. But humans, now on the other hand, we need a little help to aid us in digging and gathering and toiling and grasping as we tend to our flora and fauna. And those tools should be matched to the task and to each gardener's physicality, making the work more fruitful and the tasks ahead not as stressful. Hand tools. We're going to start with those first. And as expected, we're going to extend the abilities of our hands for tasks such as weeding, dividing, or working in soil that may be tough to get through. Now, I was fortunate to be given a pair of mole claw gloves. At least that's what I call them. And boy, I think they're going to be really handy. The soil in my garden is very dense and full of clay, and ironically, also full of moles and voles. And while they have no problem gliding through my lawn with ease, I find it very difficult to tackle lots of compacted dirt when turning up areas for bulb or transplanting. Now, these gloves that I got can be found many places online, as I find, and also featured in several garden centers for between $8 and $15. And while this is a pair, I just usually use one at a time to break up soil with my left hand and then handle the planting material with my dominant right hand. I found them offered in many colors, and they're generally offered in a universal size. So if you have very small hands, this might not work for you. They are waterproof and are made out of a latex nylon mix that features a tough plastic claw over the fingertip of four fingers, with the thumb being uncovered. I think they're going to be great for moving mulch and grabbing debris and protecting my tender hands from the rough terrain. They're not completely impenetrable, though, as thorny brush such as thistle and roses are likely going to poke through that latex. And so a leather or heavy canvas glove would be much better fitted for those jobs.
Yep, yep. Speaking of those, a well-worn pair of buckskin or canvas gloves are invaluable for gardening, especially if they breathe and don't retain moisture inside of them. Peeling off sweaty gloves is not pleasant, so find ones that are a good fit and take time to put them on before tearing up your hands on your next project. I always seem to remember putting them on midway into a tough task when my palms are already starting to blister. If you are looking for a simple hand tool, I have one that I'm very fond of for weeding. It's like a weeding wand with a sharp end that looks just like a snake's tongue, and it's at an angle with its handle. Its handle is about 1 foot long. By the way, some people or some catalogs call them Cape Cod weeder. Others call them a Japanese weeder. So I would just say you can check on your internet location. Sometimes catalogs that come in your mailbox might have something like that. Fiskars is a good brand of tools, by the way. You might be familiar with the scissors, but they have a distinctive ergonomic design, which means the handle gives good grasp and a comfortable balance in your hand. And they sell it in many locations under the Ergo Weeder hand tool name, somewhere between $10 and $15. Other hand tools in your garden bucket should also include a clipper, pruner, or a hand scissor that is especially designed for providing a sharp, clean cut for small brush stems or leaves. The tool should fit your hand size and not take undue pressure to close. Tasks you might need these for are pruning canes from rose bushes, taking small stems off of spent flowers, and thinning out dead branches. And a reminder here, keep your blade edges clean. You especially may want to wash it if you've been cutting diseased plant material.
That's a good thing to remember. And once again, you're listening to In the Garden with Kelly and Char, and today we're talking tools. Now, as Char mentioned, some of the hand tools that come in really handy are very invaluable for preserving your ability to cut through things that need to be tackled, especially this time of year. And remember, a padded grip with a ratcheting mechanism can offer help in using these tools. And some of these brands, we should add, are designed specifically for people with a weaker grip or arthritic affected hands. Although you might search for different features online, this one tool, the hand pruner, it would be, I think, the best idea to buy that in person. So you can actually try it out, see how it fits in your hand. I think that's probably a good fit.
Yeah.
So try looking for a good quality brand at one of our local sponsors and be willing to pay a bit more for one that will last more than just one season. Now, there's several brand names, and we're going to name just a few of them, but look for a quality name, including Fiskars, Horsville, Puma, Bosch, Steel, Meppertz from Germany, and Felco. A.M. Leonard is also one distributor of many well-made hand tools. Now, we're going to get on to this next one. It's a hand tool that Char really goes by. She loves the double-edged long hori-hori knife. I'd never even heard of one. And she also loves the dibbler. What's the dibbler?
A dibbler is kind of a straight up and down stick with more of a pointy end on it. And what you can use a dibbler for is planting certain seeds and a small enough of a bulb, and they make them in different thicknesses too. Mm-hmm. You know, very thin to heavier for like a bigger bulb. So very handy.
I think my grandparents just used a stick.
You can do that too.
Nature's dibbler.
Yep, yep.
You might also want to add a trowel, a small handsaw, and a bypass pruner to your bucket. There's no end to the list of brands in this market, but a well-made hand tool will give you years of helpful use. And, you know, well, there's always a bunch of plenty of low-priced competitors, but I don't think you're going to find a substitute for a well-crafted
right,
tool.
Right.
Those budget tools, Char, they just...
They don't last.
They don't don't last. They're often used, made of, you know, cheaper plastic, and they have a simpler design. They just don't hold up to the rigors of our wet, dirty environment that's out as part and parcel of gardening. So with general care and cleaning, a good quality tool is going to last a lot longer than a cheaper version and continue to deliver predictable service season after season. And as long as we're talking tools, we should also advise that you should scout out a local sharpening service, as nearly anything with an edge is going to eventually need to be sharpened. And I know there's a lot of do-it-yourself solutions out there for self-sharpening techniques, but I, for one, have never excelled at this skill, and I feel much more confident in allowing an expert to bring my outdoor cutting tools back to original specs, because improper sharpening can also do irreparable damage to all kinds of tools. And I think the small fee that they charge is certainly a fair investment.
Right. While we're talking about sharp edges, I have a lopper, and it's meant for, you know, trimming your lilacs or whatever, anything with
mostly smaller branches.
But the beauty of this is it has telescoping handles. So instead of bending over, stooping over, especially if you have bad backs, this, your handles telescope, and you can reach so much easier. I think that was one of the best things that I ever bought.
I also have one of those, and I often telescope them back in, and I get more leverage that way. But when I'm cutting something really small, but out of my reach, then I will pop those telescoping handles, and then they click and they fasten, and it gives you a little bit more height, and you're not, like you said, bending over.
Right.
That's a great addition to our hand tools discussion. Now, although we've just begun to scratch the surface on our tool inventory, I can't believe that we are almost out of time. So I think we're going to have to do a part two on this topic. What do you think?
I think you're right. That's a good idea.
We always can come up with so much to tackle, and we want to make sure that we're straightforward in giving you this information. Once again, we're not experts. We're just friends who have a gardening passion to share, and we want to give you some of the tried and true things that we've done to alleviate some of the hassles that you may come into if you are not a long-term garden. So in the last few minutes, I'm going to mention a couple of tools that I think is going to serve you well if you're more likely to stand while tending your crops. And that doesn't just mean leaning on your hoe to see how the day is, although take time to do that as well. So once you're picking up a tool with a longer handle, that usually means you're intended to give even more strength or tackle a tough barrier such as sod, clumps of weed, brush, or other obstacles. And there's nothing like being able to remove roots or pop a large plant such as a hosta right out of the ground with just a little leverage. And Char is going to remember this tool. I brought this tool, I think, four years ago and showed it to her. And I'd never seen one before, but my tried and true Root Slayer by Radius Garden is a combination of a shovel, a spade, and kind of a saw.
Because
it features all the power you need to easily slice through dry, compacted soil, root balls and rocky mixtures, and reducing the effort required to tackle those difficult tasks.
It's very impressive. Another great tool comes with a short handle as well as a longer one. The Expert Blade, and that's its name, is a very sharp triangular metal blade that can be used alone with a 7-inch handle or by attaching it to a typical 48-inch wood or metal pole. This new type of hoe is razor sharp and affords a list of uses from grass removal to weed decapitation to soil aeration. The old-fashioned variety made of steel with either a wide half moon or three-corner blade that was used to hack away at burdock, thistle, or foxtail in a steamy summer garden.
That
brings back memories. The impact of this tool, though, as with most sharp blades, must always be respected. Wearing protective shoes and requiring careful handling by an adult are a must to ensure safety while in use. No matter how much work there is to do in a garden, rushing around with sharp tools is never good practice.
You know, I know, Char, that you had a tool very similar to that that you've had for many, many years, and mm-hmm. those tried and true. But then again, they were also made of steel.
Right.
They were made of those... but they felt good in your hand, and if you can keep track of them, because I always tend to lose hand mm-hmm, tools, mm-hmm. sometimes even handled tools, I'll stick it up against a tree, and I, where in the world did it go?
Where did I put it?
So that's always a hazard. But, you know, now, Char, I'm sure there's a lot more tools we can investigate.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, maybe we'll wait until a little later in the season to do part two.
Sure.
Now, until then, we hope this spring continues to be on a more predictable path, but who's to say? And we also hope that you'll check back at our Facebook page for some photos and link to the tools. Now, speaking of that, Char, I've had a couple of submissions from people who had pictures of last year's garden, and we certainly welcome those. If you have any problem sharing those with us, make sure that you keep trying, because we've also seen, and I haven't shared this with Char yet, but we've also seen a boost in some of our viewership.
Ooh.
And that just means hopefully people are taking advantage of some of the links and some of the pictures.
Good.
And some of the topics that I've tried to provide more of this spring, especially
That's great.
We get back into the season. Not everyone is going to be able to take advantage of all the tips we share,
right.
But I think the more that we do, there's an ability to get more interested in it, and also to share some of the things, like I said, that will save you time and money if you don't have to go down the wrong path like we did once.
Right.
Char, what was the worst thing that you ever purchased that you found out was just junk?
It was a grass edger that was upright, but you'd squeeze it up at the top of the post.
Yep, to try to keep you from...
Yeah.
I know exactly. With little wheels on the back of
it. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It did not work well for
me. No,
it
didn't. If anybody's ever had any success with that, I would be surprised.
Let us know.
But there's always... always tools that are being invented that have some kind of a benefit, but yeah. I would say buyer beware,
right.
And also visit some of our sponsors and find out how a tool fits you before you purchase it. I think it's great to do research and things online, but I think if you go into an actual garden center or a store that has people that says, you know, this is one of our best sellers mm-hmm. because it works.
Right. That's
saving
the kind
you
to
time and money.
Take
I think
note of.
It is time. And so we like to share those things with you, and we hope that you'll share them with us. We're going to continue to do this every Wednesday. And Char, I hope that you have a productive week. This early spring weather has really gotten into my brain, and it's hard for me to think about something without being interrupted by saying, "Ooh, what's coming up over there?"
I know. It's an exciting time of the year, one that Kelly and I look forward to every year. So
we sure do.
Bring it on.
We sure do. All right. For another week of In the Garden, we will see you next time, and keep those gardens growing.
Bye, everyone.
Pulling weeds and picking stones. We are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need to grow my own, 'cause the time is close at hand.